Hello everyone and welcome to the second episode of this new Surrey County Cricket Club podcast, From Three Feathers to Three Lions, brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. I'm Mark Church, and once again we have four very special guests from Surrey County Cricket Club to get their insights into their pathway through the Surrey Academy into the Surrey First 11 and then on to England Honours. And once again, fingers crossed, there'll be some laughs and interesting chat along the way. Last week we looked at their time of being part of the Surrey Academy and what it meant to them. This week we'll be chatting about how they broke into the Surrey First 11 and how the Academy helped them with that transition. So let's introduce our guest for you once again. Firstly, the man who runs the Surrey Academy. He's been the Academy Director for over 17 years. And as we're talking about first-class cricket today, here are his stats. 12 first-class matches for Somerset, 414 first-class runs at an average of 20.7. Some like to call him the Dream Maker. I like to call him Gareth Townsend. GT, take your head out of your hands. How are you, my friend?
Well, I was all right until you mentioned those stats. Why did you have to come up with them? Couldn't you have said that were 400 wickets at 20 and made out I was a bowler? Well, they would look decent.
We're talking about...
It was tough playing back then. The wickets were tough at Taunton, seamed around all over the place. Very difficult, challenging time. I'm all right, Churchy.
Well, I think an average of 20. But we'll ask the three lads what they think. You with an average of 20.7 in first class cricket. Next, listen to these stats, Gareth Townsend. Next is a young man who made his Surrey first class debut back in 2017. These stats, everybody: 38 first class matches already, 2,852 first class runs at an average of 60.68. He is, of course, Ollie Pope. Popey, how are you, my friend?
Very well, Churchy. Good to be here. Good to see you again this Sunday morning.
Good, my friend. Good, good, good. Next is an off-spinner who made his first-class debut for Surrey back in 2017. His stats: 23 first-class matches, 69 wickets already, with a best of 8 for 61. He is, of course, Amar Verdi. And Verds, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good indeed, thanks. I'll ask you how your week's been in a minute, but those stats, you must be quite pleased with those already.
Yeah, they're not too bad. There's always room for improvement, could be better. But hopefully we can improve those going forward.
Well, I was asking you your opinion on Gareth Townsend's stats there. Let me just remind you of them, Verds. Hang on, GT, shush. Verds, I'm going to come back to you to get some sense here. Because Townsend can bang on all he wants about being a bowler, but Townsend's stats, an average of 20.27 in first-class cricket. Your thoughts on those?
I mean, from what I've heard from a lot of ex-pros, is that it was a really hard time playing at Taunton. So green wickets, 20, I heard that he has topped the averages for 3 years. So, I mean, he's done
pretty well. Bird, you've done your research. It's top draw.
Let's get to our final guest, who made his first-class debut for Surrey back in 2015. These stats already from this young man. 67 first-class matches with the bat, 2,602 runs at an average of 28.28, and already 183 first-class wickets with 5 fifers. He is, of course, Sam Curran. Sammy, how are you, my friend?
Good, thanks, Churchy. Just lovely day here in the sunshine, just chilling out. What are you up to?
Well, I'm sitting here looking at you. You see, I can see you all through the magic of technology for this podcast. I can see. And I'm still trying to get my head round how you are sitting at Stamford Bridge. Now, you've told me that that's actually your wall. But I'm still trying to get my head round how you've got the perfect picture of Stamford Bridge on your wall.
Well, I don't know how many Zoom calls you've done, Churchill. I know, having watched your videos of your garden cricket, I'm not sure about your... You should. I'm surprised you don't know, because there's a thing you can use on Zoom and it just makes me feel like I'm at the bridge watching Chelsea, maybe sitting in Frank Lampard's seat right now. So, yeah, it's a bit of fun and I can't wait to see yours soon.
Well, actually, then that's a challenge for everybody for next week. I can't wait to see what GT's going to have, but we've all got to have for the podcast next week, a background. Sam's already got Stamford Bridge. Popey, Verds, GT and myself, we have to get our background ready for next week. So, GT, let me come to you first. Since we last spoke, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty full on. We focused, in terms of our kind of social media stuff with the Academy, on Mental Health Awareness Week, which we take pretty seriously and value a lot, and always have done on our Academy program in terms of how we work through it. We need to just kind of keep pushing that as well, because even though it's a week where people focus on it, obviously the issues surrounding it is something that's all year round, and it's just something I think that sits with all of us in terms of having an understanding and appreciation of the way people have been. So we focused on that. Been involved with kind of discussions with some coaches, Graham Thorpe, about getting up to the Oval for throwing some balls at some of these guys and others for the return of the international players. So that takes place. So I'll get involved with that, with the claw. They'll be practicing my 65-mile-an-hour medium paces, which they'll get used to facing the West Indies against. And then what else are we doing? We're also trying to get a return to coaching for our young players as well, our under-16s, using some facilities around the county. So we've worked hard to get that set up, ready to go and press the button when we're all sorted, so we can get our young county age good cricketers back getting some one-to-one training, which will be brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask the three boys about this as well. But obviously this week announced that Michael DeVenito won't be back with Surrey for when we get started again next summer. And even if we get domestic cricket this summer, just a word from you on Diver and what he's achieved during his time at Surrey.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a disappointment for him and everyone at the club for it to end like that, especially with the lockdown and lack of opportunities this summer to do the stuff we wanted to do. But you're judged on, a coach is criticised if you don't do well, and sometimes not applauded when they do well. You've got to remember, we won a county championship in brilliant fashion. We got two Lords finals, and we've created a squad of players that sets us well for the future. So, he'd be disappointed he couldn't continue that, but we have to kind of, wish him well and appreciate and congratulate him on the stuff that he's done. And as a bloke, he's a great bloke in terms of what he offers. And I think everyone's disappointed for that, but with all things in professional sport, we'll move on and kind of look forward.
Popey, how's your week been? Well, what can you tell us about sort of getting back and having a hit? Because obviously the 55 have been named. You, of course, are in that. What can you tell us about when you're going to actually get out there and start hitting a cricket ball again?
Yeah, I think the plan's to start getting back to training tomorrow. I think I'm due to be at the Oval at 11 o'clock around that sort of time, and I'm pretty excited for it, to be honest. It's been obviously a long time without picking up a bat, and I think the first few hits, there could be some stumps flying everywhere. I might be a bit rusty, but I'm really excited to get going again.
Yeah. Does it feel a bit like they always talk about before the start of the season, it's like Christmas Eve? Does it feel a bit like that at the moment, Christmas Eve and getting back out there?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, obviously these lads have been back bowling now, and I've seen a bit on social media of the lads at the Oval, and I've got a bit of FOMO, a bit jealous over the last month or so, but it's really exciting, and yeah, it's going to be nice just to get back to that routine again.
And a word from you on Diver?
Yeah, like GT said, really, he's obviously, coaches can sort of go unspoken about when things go very well, and when things don't go as well, the fingers start sort of getting pointed. But it's obviously a massive shame with how it's happened, but I'm sure we'll be able to sort of, we end up going overseas quite a bit, and the lads sort of, well, I'm sure we'll be able to give him a good send-off at some point. But yeah, no, it's obviously a massive shame, and it's obviously a loss, but yeah, I'm sure he'll be all good, and it'd be nice to catch up with him at some point down under.
And Verds, for you, how's your week been? Congratulations in that 55. Very excited for you with that. Are you out there bowling already, or what's your programme looking like?
So I was in this week to do some bowling and then just some work with Daz Benes. I think from next week now, I think the government will guidelines have changed slightly, so I think the training's now going to be a bit different. So I think, again, same as Pope, we're in tomorrow training, which should be good, and now I think we're getting back into the flow of things. Things seem to be on the way up.
And how good has it been to be out? I know you said last week you got a net in the garden, but how good's it been to actually been out there doing a bit of proper work again?
It's been really good, obviously, with the Jono at the club and stuff like that. It's good to get some chance for some one-on-one work and kind of just honing in your skills. Now having an idea that it could be potentially playing soon. So, you know, just keeping an eye on that gives you something a bit more to work towards now, so which is good.
And a word from you on Diver?
I mean, very similar to what GD and Poby said, but, you know, I thought Diver was really good, especially for us youngsters. You know, he gave us a lot of confidence, especially me. I think I learned a lot of good lessons while he was in charge, and now I want to wish him all the best for the future. I really enjoyed my time playing under him, so you know, hopefully our paths cross soon. But he'll be successful wherever he goes now, I reckon.
And Sammy, when we spoke to you last week, you'd already been out there with the Fizz, having a bit of a bowl. How's this week been, and sort of what's on the cards for next week for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's I'm now three times a week, and so bowling quite a good set of overs each day, building up intensity, is probably getting close to 100%, which is good. But yeah, it's been nice to get back into a routine, and I'm enjoying the drive back to the ground and small things like that, bringing back the memories of it actually feeling like summer. So it's always good, and as Bird said, I haven't had a break off bowling for this long, and this is almost like a little block to get work on some technical stuff, whereas you can't really work on it when you playing so many games and stuff like that. So it's nice, and yeah, I think the batters are back in this week, and I don't know if we're bowling at them this week, but I think maybe next week we start bowling against a batter again, so hopefully it gets that competitive edge going. And really excited to catch up with Popey Burnsy and see a few familiar faces.
Brilliant. And also just a word from you about Diver and what he achieved at the club.
Yeah, I just kind of echo the other boys. He did some great work for the first few years to us winning the championship. He gave a lot of youngsters opportunities, and now the youngsters are actually starting to thrive in the squad, which is really nice. And as we're linking back to last week, there's that picture of us all from the academy playing, and he was probably the one who started getting rid of the older players and started picking us youngsters. You see, they're probably good stats actually in terms of how many of the academy boys made debuts around him. Diver loved giving the youngsters a go, and he was obviously, it's never nice to see anyone go, but I think whatever Diver moves on to do, he'll always be there for us, and I've already spoken to him recently since he left, and I'm sure we'll cross paths in the future.
Just for everybody listening on the podcast, Sam Curran's changed his background again now. He's an absolute whiz at this background thing. So now you're now sitting in front of the Surrey team celebrating a wicket in the one day stuff. I can't get my...
Churchy, I'll give you a text after this and I'll FaceTime you. I'll teach you.
Thank you, old boy. I need to know these things. Right, GT, we're talking about the move into the first 11 this week from the academy. Give us an idea of how it works then. So you've got a player there that the first team coach has got an eye on. Sort of what's the communication between you and them about when this kid should get in and have a game, and you know, that process of getting someone in to play for the first 11?
I mean, obviously I can manage them through that initial stage, which we chatted about last week, age group cricket into their academy programmes. You begin to look at which players are showing this temperament, character, skills that will allow them to push on. That gives me the confidence in decisions to push them into second 11 cricket. And then at that point, that's when they're kind of being pushed into the frame of where the pro coaches are, River or Alec, etc., where they're beginning to see those players named to a face, have an understanding of who they are. And then they, you know, from what they see and what information we can give, and it's not all statistics, it's more to do with what they show, they will then make some decisions. I mean, an example maybe with Sam and Popey, that transition happened really quickly because I said last week, Popey scored that great 100 in a semi-final at Reeds and in age group cricket. And within a year, he was playing in the first team in the semi-final of the Royal London. Now, that came really, and Popey will know this, that came really from a net session he had that summer where he displayed the kind of abilities and skill sets they were looking for to plug a kind of hole in that 5-6-7 in the first team. And he went straight into that game against Yorkshire on the back of, in a way, what they knew about him coming up, and then almost visually seeing the evidence in a practice environment, and they got him straight up to Headingley. And I didn't mention there, and Sam mentioned it, but Dibber, you know, what they have done, and go back to that, is the ability to give younger players a shot and an opportunity. Not a gamble, more a case of backing them. It's been pretty phenomenal, and also has been a key reason why we've produced players that are now producing on. And I think, you know, Sam and Ollie have benefited hugely from getting into the first team very quickly. I sometimes think it's not stagnating, but if you stay in the second team too long, you can get into bad habits, but you're not stretched enough. There's a massive gap between the first standard of first team cricket and second team. And the quicker these guys can kind of travel through that and get into the first team and beyond, I think is a massive plus. And I think we've done that brilliantly with most of these guys here. And they've obviously been good enough and have shown character and ability, but they've benefited from not kind of stagnating in elements of cricket that may not push them forward quick enough. And Sam, in a similar way, when he came up for a 2020 practice one summer, who's still at school. They knew about him as a person in terms of, you know, description, but they'd never seen him. And then he played really well in that game, and they went from there. And they were there. You know, he was playing as a schoolboy in front of 20,000-30,000. It's a fluid. As I said, fluid process, not complicated, and certainly not complicated when players have abundance of talent and. And like I said, the ability to handle what you're giving them. And if those ingredients are there, they can fly quite quickly and progress amazingly.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing there is if you don't give them a go, you're never going to really find out, are you? At some point, you've got to give them a go to find out whether they've got it or not.
Yeah, and that is the key. And I'm a big one that a player adapts to the environment or level that they're at. If you put a lad into a test environment or a first-class game or second-team game, they sense what they're in, they work it out, the better ones do, and they adapt, and then they take their games forward. Once they're comfortable in that environment, once they feel happy, and I say secure, they kind of don't feel inhibited or over-worried, then that player can grow and progress in that environment. I think that's what's happened. The longer you leave it, I think, the more those players can potentially bring up negativity, uncertainty, anxiety over whether they're good enough. Will it happen for me? So, in a way, the quicker you can get them in and back them, the better results you're going to get and the more you're going to get out.
Popey, so GT mentioned a net there, and I can remember you being named in the squad for that semi up at Headingley. What are your memories of that? Because the other thing I remember is us all sitting at Edgbaston after a game at Edgbaston in the hotel, and you were playing for the 19s, England 19s, and everyone's sitting there and everyone nodding. And so what are your memories, though, of that net to go into that semi-final?
It was bizarre because that 10-day period is what sort of got me into that first team so quickly. I was lucky enough to... There's a lot of things that I was lucky about. Like, for example, I was lucky that the one game in that one-day series we were playing against Sri Lanka under 19, the only game that I scored runs in happened to be a TV game. I was lucky that Diver and Stewie and the rest of the boys happened to be watching at the time.
Just to interrupt there, but I can honestly remember everyone sitting in the bar watching it and you know, I'd heard about you, but I'll be honest, that was the first time I'd seen you bat. And I'm not just trying to big you up here, but literally the entire squad was sat there watching you bat in that game, and everyone was going, whoa, hang on. So as you say, there's a bit, not luck, but timing's everything, isn't it? And as you say, that was televised and everyone saw it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I remember just getting called up from Stewie, and he just said, do I want to come in for a hit in a training session, and I think Sam was already in the first team then. So, but other than that, I didn't really know many of the boys that well. So it was all a bit bizarre. And I remember, I think Barnsley was flicking at me. He's pretty quick on the sidearm. And I had a lot of confidence from the week before and scoring the runs. And I just remember having one of those nets where I'd just play some random shots and I'd be lucky enough that they came off. And then I think the coach liked what he saw at the time, so he just gave me a game, I think, the week after, which was, it was a weird week. It was very strange. But when I first got a call from Stewie, and he was like, "We're going to register you, so if you decide that you're going to play in the first team," I was like, I thought I couldn't be further away from the first team, if I was being completely honest. Mm. And that was before I had a contract or anything. So it was bizarre. It was a bizarre 10 days. Timing was everything, like you said.
And what do you remember of that semi-final? Were you relaxed? Were you nervous? How did it feel? Because it all happened so quickly.
I think I was probably more nervous in the field than I was batting. It was the ideal situation I wanted to come in at. I only got 20, I think, but I was happy just with the 20 runs. And I was taking them. I just wanted to get off the mark. Mm. And I think I was probably more nervous in the field. Obviously, when you're coming in as a youngster, you feel that kind of pressure in the field. So that was probably the biggest thing for me. You don't want to mess up, sort of in front of your teammates. But yeah, no, it was. I know. I just remember the bus back, and we had a few beers. Obviously, we won the match, so we were celebrating. And it was just, I think, I was sat next to Sam actually on the way back, and yeah, we had a few beers, and it was really surreal, and sat next to these guys that we've sort of watched as youngsters. So that was my first taste of it, and yeah, it was awesome.
In a way, Popey, in a way, was it good for you that it all happened quickly and that you didn't have a huge amount of time to dwell on the fact that, blimey, you know, I'm playing in a semi-final here of the big one-day competition and this has all happened, you know, really, really quick?
Probably, yeah, I think so. I remember I didn't really even know the morning of the game if I was going to be playing or not. I was trying to sort of work it out myself. And then when I got told, yeah, it was good. I think for the first time, whenever you're making your debut, whether it's for Surrey or for England or England Lions, or you're just a new side, you're going to have nerves, and you want it to just sort of, you want to get that first game out of the way so you can sort of ease into it, get that first performance under the belt. But yeah, probably at the time, probably because I was so young and I was so new to it all, it was probably for the best that it just suddenly sort of happened like that.
Verds, your first class debut for Surrey was Essex at Chelmsford. Just what are your memories of that as well? What are your memories of getting the nod and being told, yeah, you're playing, and obviously you picked up wickets, I think James Foster was your first wicket, I think, from memory. But what are your memories of that? You know, talking there with Popey about it was all very quick for him. Obviously, you've been around the squad a bit, and what are your memories of making that debut?
Basically, what happened was is that I think Bats was injured. I think it was his toe or something like that, and so I came up as a replacement in the squad, like kind of as just in case he didn't play. Mm. So I didn't really think that I was gonna play that game, but then kind of on the day before, then they told me that I'm playing. But yeah, I mean it was interesting because I didn't really know what to expect too much, because obviously I'd been playing twos cricket under GT and stuff like that. But obviously, until you don't play a first team game, I think you don't really know maybe what it's really about. And I think I bowled 37 overs or something in that game. And we only bowled one innings. I think Sanger nearly got the record deal, the hundreds, right. Hundreds in a row. And he got 90 something or 80 something, got caught and bowled by Wesley. It was a really interesting experience because I bowled 23, 24 overs and I only went for about 40 or 50 runs. And I thought, I haven't got a wicket here, like, really want to get a wicket. And then kind of in the next, it just kind of went really quickly from there. And obviously everyone kind of knows me then from my kind of celebration running to third man or something after I got my first wicket. But yeah, it was a good experience. Yeah, it was interesting.
And I'm fascinated by that. What were the differences then? Because as you said, you've been playing second team cricket. You went up there thinking you might not play with Bats being injured. So you're just in there as a sort of cover, and then you are playing. So what were the differences that you found straight away playing first team cricket?
I think the intensity definitely is like it's a lot more on it. Like everyone's on it 100% all the time. There's no room to kind of let people slip, and especially like the batters, they don't want to give you their wicket, and you know they just want to keep running you into the ground as much as possible. And also the wickets are slightly different. You know, sometimes you might be playing at club grounds in second level cricket, so the pitches are a bit different. So, you know, the way the pitch changes over the days, and you know, the whole environment was completely different. Obviously, when you got people like, you know, Sangakkara fielding at mid on, and you've got some other big names playing in the games, it's kind of a bit of a. I think Alistair Cook played that game as well, and it was kind of a bit surreal that, you know, all these people are playing when last week you were playing, you know, against somebody else. So it's you kind of got to look past that and kind of see that, okay, right, I'm here to do my job, and, you know, I want to show people what I can do.
Look, you bowled really well in that first game against Essex. How much confidence did that give you? You know, because you go into a game and if you can do what you did and bowl well, you know you can do it at that level. So how much confidence did that give you?
I mean, it did give me a lot of confidence. There was a bit in the pitch as well which helped. It was quite dry. But it did give you a lot of confidence. But I think also, you know, it made it seem that, you know, it's actually not that daunting. It's not, maybe you can do it. But I think the next game I had actually after that was against Hampshire, which was a few games after. I didn't actually play the next game. There was a break, but Batch played the next game. Then I played against Hampshire. And that was a real eye-opener for me because I think I bowled like 40 overs and went for quite a lot of runs. I only got one wicket. And I think that kind of showed me that actually it's not always going to be like this. There's going to be some tough days where the pitches aren't going to offer or you know, the conditions aren't going to be in your favour. So you need to find a way of what you can do. So that was for me, that was an even bigger learning experience about how I need to go about now as a bowler. That one thing doesn't work all the time. So you've got to think about how you adjust and work on things to be the most successful possible.
And Sammy, what are your memories of sort of making first team debuts? Because as GT was saying, still at school, and coming into that first team, what are your memories of all of that? Because that was all quite a whirlwind as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think a game we spoke about earlier, my first kind of like warm up game with the first team, I kind of just came in, did my best, did quite well, and then same as Popey, Stewie gave me a ring and said we're going to register you, and I was like, oh, like I was so shocked almost, just kind of like, oh, this is amazing. What number do you want on your shirt? So I had to call my mum, my brothers, saying, what shirt number should I get? Things like that was pretty cool. Because any time you got a number, it was quite interesting. When we played academy stuff, any player who had a number on their shirt or something, everyone was like, oh my God, this guy's like the player. So it's my first memories. I played a T20 against Kent at the Oval was my first team debut. And then I can't actually really remember how well it. I only remember my first class debut the best. When it was against Kent. I got the new ball and I just started bowling, trying to bowl as quick as I can. Just in a moment, I actually went for a lot of runs, but ended up picking five first. So I was buzzing, but I didn't realise I was probably going at six and over. So I didn't realise like their extent of kind of how you got to maintain runs and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, that's probably my earliest memory, and then. It was just great to be playing, and
just that Kent game in the championship. Yeah, he's now your England teammate. But I remember you knocking Joe Denley over very early. I think it was your first over.
And,
yeah, so that and it was an absolute
like third or fourth ball. He was my first wicket, so I do even now give him a bit of stick to say I'll let you out of my pocket now and again.
But it was an absolute pearler as well that knocked him over. So that look, be honest, that must have done your confidence the power of good to knock over someone like Joe Denley with that delivery in your first over. Must have done you the power of good.
Yeah, I think as Popey said, I think bowling is probably similar to batting in that aspect. When it's your debut, you just want to get that first run, get that first wicket, or get that first kind of over out the way. But once you get one wicket, you almost get that belief and like realization that you can actually play at this level, and then just went from there. And it's great memories. It's just at that time, I don't think I was thinking too much. It was kind of, oh my God, I'm playing a sport I love with my mates, and I just went with it. Whereas I think as I've got a bit older, I've started to probably look at my game a bit more and fine tune it. Whereas there, you're just trying to play to have a bit of fun and just trying to do your best.
And how good was it getting into that?
The interesting thing, which we kind of not irritated us a little bit, is when Sam did make that debut against Ken the Champo, I think he batted at 11. I was quite, you talk about communication, I was quite frustrated that they didn't appreciate or work out quickly there that should have been. He wasn't a number 11 because he was batting for us as a 4-5-6 anchored bat and bowl, but he obviously got the new ball because he could swing it. But I think they might have got his batting position slightly wrong in his early days. I don't know how long it took him to get away from that number 11 spot. There might be in a game or two, but that was quite ironic, really, that he started in coming at 11.
I was more angry that I was batting behind TC because I definitely was better batter than him.
Sammy, we talked about Diver earlier, but obviously G Ford as well. He was very good at getting, you know, Tom. That was G Ford who got Tom involved. He was very good with the youngsters as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, my first season was with Fordy, and he was pretty the same sort of thing. I think at that stage when I debuted, it was quite. There was a lot of older players coming to the end of their careers. Like, obviously, there was Trim. I came in for Trim, actually, when Trim got injured. Mm. And I know Vic was still around. So I was one of the first kind of us three in this chat of coming on. And Fordy was very, oh, let's give this guy a go. Just go out there and play your game. We're not going to judge you straight away. And I think that started the cycle of when Fordy left. Then obviously Diver came in, and then Diver just picked up one from 40 and kind of went with it, yeah.
And GT, how you know, mentioning Graham Ford there, how good was that for you as well to see, you know, your lads getting a go in the first team?
Oh, it's brilliant, and because it hadn't, you know, it wasn't a regular thing during my time at Surrey, which, you know, has gone on for a while now, in my 25th, 26th year. It's a really interesting area to look at about the progression of young players into professional sport and beyond. I think that there's no formula to it because, you know, these, you know, Popey and Sam are quite unique in a way. That's not the standard progress. There isn't in a way a standard way of getting into it. It's just the kind of, you know, it's a little bit, you react, you go in, you do well, you go forward or you go back a bit. And then it is down to the players. It's their ability, and I keep going back to them, the ability they've got and the people they are and how they're made up is how far they're going to progress. And it's very difficult to assess that. Any coach, selector, can't really always get it right. And you always, I think, if you've got an attitude of wanting younger, I would rather see a younger player get the opportunity to get better than potentially an older player hold the level and maybe not progress. And I think that's the attitude. Skipper's made his got his double 100 very early for against Yorkshire, still at school, I think. I'm you know, amazing achievement. So I've always come from the camp that, you know, you obviously, in the nature of the work I do, is you've got to get these lads in there, give them the opportunity to play, back them, and you will see them, you know, so it sounds kind of, you know, you will literally see them grow and develop in front of your eyes. And I think they have done that, and the younger players that have come through. Smithy made his debut at Lords at the Oval in the 2020 game. Well, it might be at Lords actually. Jason Roy did. Jaxie's come in early. You've got to get them in and back them. And I think there is an understanding now that the kids coming out of our program, they're good players. Mm. And the difference isn't as big as probably what people have said before between going from schoolboy age group second team into international cricket if they're good enough, and that's a natural way it will happen. So it's all credit to them, but I think we've got it right that we are giving young players the chance. Also, it's better for the club because you build up a spine of or a cohort of players that have played together, know each other, love the badge, are about Surrey, and whether they go to England or not, that stays with them forever, I think.
Popey, we talked about that MAB week and then getting in the one-day stuff for the semi-final at Headingley. What are your memories of sort of first... Your first-class debut was against Oxford Uni, wasn't it? Off the top of my head, from memory. And you kept wicket, and I think you got 30-odd in the first innings. But what are your memories of sort of breaking into the Championship side as well? And then that 100 against Hampshire down at the Aegeus Bowl.
Yeah, I made my... So, obviously, the first-class debut against Oxford, and then my Championship debut was at Middlesex against... at the Oval against Middlesex.
Yeah.
And it was quite similar to before. It all happened quite quickly. And if I'm honest, it actually happened it was quite soon after the Lord's final when I happened to drop Hales in about nine, and he went on and got about 170 odd out and played a pretty good knock to lift the trophy. So I was obviously, because at the time I hadn't played a lot at all, so I was obviously a bit flat about that, and I hadn't played a lot for Surrey, and I think I was maybe 19 or 18. Mm-hmm. So I was actually in a bit of a funny place sort of from a cricket point of view. In my mind, that's probably the flattest I've been about it. And don't get me wrong, I wanted to obviously get in the side, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I don't want to drop another catch and do all this. And then that championship debut came a lot sooner than I expected. I think we sat down and had a team meeting, and then it was sort of hinted that me and Ryan Patel might play. And we sat down and said, like, what would it mean if we were to make our debuts and sort of get that brown hat? And then we went on, and it was actually that bow and arrow game where someone fired a bow and arrow onto the middle of the pitch, and it landed. So that's another good memory of it. Kind of short of just winning that game, I think. But yeah, no, it was a pretty mad week.
And again, just
the end of his career, that game.
Yeah, well, to be fair, if because you were, to be just on that, you were short leg, or you were pretty near where it landed, weren't you?
Yeah, the video's quite funny, actually, looking back. I was a short leg, and it landed, like, sort of in the middle of the pitch, pretty much. And, it's quite funny to see. I saw Ricky Clark running off, covering his head, and some boys were just strolling off. And, like, if you're gonna get hit by an arrow from outside the ground, then luck's against you that day. It's not meant to be.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Championship Cricket, Ollie Poe. But again, you say it all happened pretty quickly. Again, and as you say, you were in an interesting place at that point. But again, because it all happened quite quickly, and because suddenly you were playing against Middlesex at the Oval, was that a good thing again? Because you didn't have a huge amount of time to think about it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I don't think it's ever a bad thing, because I don't mind just sort of, it's the same with the England stuff. These things happen, they feel like they happen really suddenly. And then I remember even being with Sam when he made his test debut. He got a call up. He wasn't expecting it. It was probably the last thing he was expecting at the time. We were on the golf course, and then suddenly he's getting told to drive up to, I think, Leeds or Headingley. And he's got his wife on suddenly the next day, and he's making his debut. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's quite a good thing. Then you can sort of just jump in head first.
And that first 100 as well in Championship Cricket, Aegeus Bowl, it had rained, hadn't it, going into the last day. Look, I actually can remember seeing you at breakfast that morning, and you batted with Folksy and made that 100. How big a thing was that? Because that was early in your career, to tick that one off early as well.
Yeah, I think it was. You want to just tick off that milestone, obviously, but it was a bit of a strange feeling. You sort of imagine your first 100, big celebrations and all that kind of thing. But it was a bit of a, me and sort of Folksy and myself had done all the hard work, and we were batting the day out for the draw. And the second new ball came on, and luckily I just found the rope a few times and suddenly looked at the scoreboard and I was nearly there. And then as I hit that 100, we shook hands. So it was a bit of a strange feeling, but it was really nice. I remember the drive home, just sort of knowing that you can do it at that level against a pretty solid attack was a good feeling.
Sammy, just your memories of 2018, because obviously you were off playing for England a bit as well, but to sort of win the championship early in your career with your mates must have been something pretty special, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I think the boys nailed it. It was obviously a huge milestone for all of us, but I think it hit me the most. I don't know, it might be the same for the other guys, but seeing the older players, how they kind of felt after winning, like you look at like Jade, Bats, Burnsy, J-Roy, even TC, the way they almost quite emotional at it. I think that was quite a big thing. That obviously we hadn't won it in 16 years, and I didn't play that last game where we won it at Worcester, but I got on the train. I just felt I couldn't miss that moment of, you know, I took the risk that we're going to beat Worcester that afternoon, but when I arrived, we lost a couple of wickets in the afternoon, and no one better than Mornay just to clip one off his hip for four. So I think those are the moments I look back at, and just I'm almost getting goosebumps now thinking about it. It's it's a great, great memories. And to say we've won a championship pretty early in our careers is pretty cool. And I think that gives us a taste of what it's like. And hopefully, I know probably this season the championship's going to be different, whatever, what cricket we do play. But hopefully next year when it's normal, we can kind of forget about last season, which was probably not good enough from anyone in part of the side in terms of as team.
And am I right in thinking that game at New Road, you got down there for the final day, but you almost didn't get into to see the end. Is that right?
Yeah, well, everything started. They didn't actually want to let me into the ground when I arrived because I didn't have a ticket. I just thought I'd just walk in. I had to call Stewie to come speak to them at the gate because they won't give me a ticket. And then I managed to just get there in time. And I don't remember much of the bus journey back because we did have a big do. So yeah, it was a great fun, and I'm glad I didn't miss that moment of kind of celebrating there on the balcony at New Road. So yeah, it was awesome.
And how much do you take a pleasure in seeing these other two go well? And you know, we talked about it last week, but you know, in terms of Championship cricket, with Verds with his wickets, Popey making his hundreds. It seems every other day that Popey's making 100. How much pleasure do you take in seeing your mates doing really, really well?
Yeah, well, I think it's that's the biggest thing. I think when you're playing in a team sport and you're winning games, it's fine. But when you're doing it with your mates and doing well, I was actually trying to find a virtual background of Bird celebrating his aeroplane celebrations, because those. Like memories when Bird spins one through the gate and he runs all the way around the oval when there's not many people in the crowd and going crazy. It's pretty cool. And obviously seeing Popey, the first memory now, because it's recent, was seeing Popey get his Test 100 against South Africa in a Test match was probably the top pinnacle stuff, because that's dreams are made of that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's awesome.
Bird being part of that and an integral part of that. That side that won the championship in 2018, only a year after you made, well, less than a year after you made your first class debut. What are your memories of that? A, getting the backing to be that spinner, and B, to win the championship as well.
Playing that year was, you know, it still feels unreal, because we used to turn up to games and, you know, we used to turn sides over in 2 or 3 days, like proper sides. And, you know, it really felt a bit like we had a formula, it worked, and, you know, we didn't need to change it. But I guess playing the following year was a bit different, and it kind of put things into perspective for me that actually it's not always going to be as easy as this, or it's not going to work the same thing all the time. So that was really interesting for me. But again, some of the other boys I mentioned, like playing with your mates and winning a championship, which is, I think this pinnacle of playing county cricket is winning a championship, probably the hardest thing to do, is unbelievable. I mean, you know, not many people will be able to say that, you know, you played a championship year with, you know, 3 or 4 people that you've been playing with since young age. Mm. You know, it makes hard work and effort that you put in worth it. But to win it at such a young age, I think you don't really maybe appreciate how much work actually goes into it.
Popey, look, 2018 wasn't a bad year for you, because obviously you made your England debut as well. But we're going to talk about that in the next episode, England. But what are your memories of that and winning the championship? And doing it, as everybody said, with your mates in a dressing room like Surrey.
Yeah, it was unbelievably special. We got on a run from on the pitch. From that kind of point of view, we got on a run where we just sort of put on a big score and then just bowled teams out for twice in no time, really. And it was the amount of times we were in the situation where Burnsy would ask the boys, should we make them follow on, or shall we have put our feet up and have another bat? And then the bowlers would say, "Oh, let's have a little bat for maybe at sort of half a day or something, so they can get off their feet." And we'd always bowl again, and then the bowlers would just roll the side over again. And we just got on a roll, and it was awesome. But to do it with these boys, yeah, it was unbelievably special. And Sammy said it there; he alluded to it when he said how. When you see how much it meant to the older guys, for example, Ricky, Jade, those guys who they've been around for a while now, to see how emotional it made them as well, it makes you realise that it's a massive part of their life and a massive part of the history of the club as well. And it's just great to be able to help those guys sort of create those memories as well. But yeah, it was a pretty special summer, and obviously there's a lot of hard work that goes into a championship win. I don't think it's like winning anything else. It's played 14 games in the season, and it can feel like a long slog at the time, especially when you sort of make the size follow on and you're doing some good time in the field. But yeah, no, like I said, it was unbelievably special, and to do it with these lads just makes it even better.
And Popey, final one for you. Cricket, though, is a funny old game, isn't it? And it has a habit of tripping you up. And I would have thought what happened last summer with the injury and the way you bounced back brilliantly from that. But this game of cricket keeps you pretty honest, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's good. I think it probably makes you a better person as well. In my eyes, you see some of the best sort of players in the world and some of the guys who we're lucky enough to get over to Surrey. Obviously, we've got Mornay at the moment. I haven't really met Hashim yet, but apparently he's a very similar Sangha. There's a reason those guys were at the top of their game for so long and so well respected, because they're also sort of good blokes. I think they play hand in hand, and it's just about trying to stay pretty level, because one week you might score 100 and you might be the next best thing or the best thing, and then the next week you might have a rough week and you're suddenly overrated. So, especially with sort of the media these days as well, you've got to try and stay pretty constant, I reckon. And you learn that off the guys that we're lucky enough to share the changing room with at Surrey, to be honest. But yeah, it's definitely a leveller. So yeah, it keeps you pretty honest at the best of times.
Yeah, Sammy, final question for you this week. Popey just touched on it there, mate, but in the wonderful world of social media, and if you play international cricket or even if you play Surrey, you know, there's a lot of people watching you. How much did it take to get used to that as well? Just having a lot of people watching what you were up to?
Yeah, I think Popey nailed it on the head there. I think it's fantastic when you're doing well and obviously getting wickets and everyone's saying great bowling, bowler, you're bowling well or scoring runs. But I think the main thing is trying to stay level, because those days where I probably noticed it more in international cricket recently. I know we've been talking about first team cricket, but I think everyone's your friend when you're doing well. And I think it's about trying to maintain those moments where you're a bit lower. And I think, again, links back to being with your mates. Just keep surrounding. I just try to keep surrounding myself with good people and good people I trust. And if you're getting the backing from people around you, I think that's all you need to worry about. Because if you start worrying about everything around you, I don't think you'll focus on the day job, if that makes sense. You've got to focus on the actual day in, day out, doing what you do well, and don't need to worry about people's opinions too much, I think. Because I think I probably nailed it. We've had so many pros who have come over to Surrey who we can question day in, day out what it's like, and they are literally the top game. You look at like Graham Smith, Kumar, Amla, Ponting, all these guys who have come over to Surrey, they're literally the best in the game. So I think there's no one better to pick their brains, whereas we had Sangha for 3 years, so he was a true gent and one of the world's greats. So I think we were pretty lucky to pick the brains, and he had a great way of looking at it. He would always say that you just got to focus on your job and then everything takes care of itself, because I think if you worry about other people's opinions, you might start thinking there's a right and yours are wrong. So it's just trying to stay level.
And GT, final one for this episode to you. So you're three here chatting away to me. You've had a few that have come through. You've got a few that are coming through now. For you, sitting there and watching them do what they do, it must give you a massive boost, must give all your coaches on the academy a massive boost as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, of course. I think it kind of gives confirmation and confidence of what you're doing and how you're doing it. Is the right way, or the right way for you, because you've got results to prove it. I think we've been fortunate in a way that we've had these lads come through together, but you know, part of that is the system. But I will go back to the fact that it's a reflection of them as individuals. They've managed themselves and earned it. We've tried to guide them, give them a framework from which to win, from which to develop through. But at the end of the day, you know, when they cross over that line, whether it's a Surrey shirt or an England shirt, it's them who have to make the decisions, whether they're bat, bowling, fielding, and execute. And I think it goes back to, you know, my pride, or, you know, in watching how they've developed and are developing. And I think their credits, I always say, their credit to themselves as and their families of what they represent. And we're fortunate too that they're Surrey lads as well. So, yeah, I take my hat off to them.
Brilliant. Well, fellas, thank you for your time again. Have a good week. Glad to see you back out there bowling, hitting again. Have a good week. Take care of yourselves. Look after yourselves and stay safe.
Cheers, cheers.
And that stumps for this second episode of From Three Feathers to Three Lions. Thanks to Gareth Townsend, Ollie Pope, Amar Verdi and Sam Curran. In our next episode, we'll be chatting about playing for England. And thank you for listening. If you've liked what you've heard, please rate and review us because it really helps others find the podcast. Until our next episode, this has been the Surrey County Cricket Club podcast From Three Feathers to Three Lions, brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. Until next week, stay safe and stay well, everyone.